We've been going through this series about warfare. We are in war. Yes, we are. And I don't want us to forget that. That's why we're saying a mighty fortress is our God to begin every service for the next few weeks. Mighty fortress he is. You see, because I believe that God wants us to change our mindset. What is your mind set on? Is it set on fear, our problems, what? I believe that God wants us, even in warfare, even as we go through trials, to be more than conquerors. In fact, I'm going to read that to you in a little bit. I believe that he wants us to be conquerors, not being conquered. Yes, the devil is there, but the devil is a liar. He will whisper things in your consciousness that you had never dreamed of. And you don't know why you're doing what you're doing. God didn't call you to be a follower of the devil, but a follower of Jesus Christ. And he wants us to be empowered. He wants us not to be victims. Sometimes I get into that victimization mode. I'll be sick or this don't work out like I want to. And I'm all, praise the Lord. I'm not trying to mock anybody but myself. And I get in my little pity corner so I can have my pity time and complain to God. Listen, we can bring all of our problems and all of our trials to God. We should come boldly before the throne of grace, but we should come like God is real. You know, there's an old song I used to sing back in Texas, my folks did. God is real because I can feel him in my soul. I'm telling you today that even if you can't feel him in your soul, he is real. And he loves us. And he has called us into this warfare and called us not to be victims of the devil or whoever else, but victors, not victims, but tors, victors. He's called us and he's given us through the power of his Holy Spirit to be bold, to be strong. It's warfare. We don't just let the devil come in and take our joy. No, this is warfare. This is where God's power and God's strength is made evident in our lives. And everybody knows us. And they look at us and say, boy, I wonder how he or she goes through that. You know, they have this and they've had to have surgery and this happened and that happened. And God is glorified. Why? Because we walk in boldness and in strength. We walk as not victims. Oh, well, it's me. I'm not trying to belittle our complaints to God. We should come to God and bring our case to him. But we should not stay there. We should get up empowered, strengthened, ready to go. This is warfare. And we're stomping our feet like the little kids did a while ago. We're dancing because God has called us to glory and to glorify him and to rejoice before him. You know, from beginning to end, each day, each time period, there's unstopped praise and worship and glory to God, no matter what's going on. That's the sound of heaven. And we are to join into that sound and into that praise. And we should come before God as warriors. We come here to take care of God's business, not to be run over, not to be misused, not to just give up. I guess I can't do it. No, don't give up. Keep pressing, but not in your own strength, not in my own power. The battle, well, who is the battle? I'm going to ask you a question. Who is this battle for? The battle, who owns it? You're part of the team, but there's someone else who owns this battle. And we're called to be not being conquered, but conquerors, to be mighty in the Lord. I want us to just hear the word of God a lot today. I want us to go to Romans 8. Romans 8. This is warfare. And I'm going to tell you, the battle is won in the mind, in the spirit. If you think you can't do it, you can't do it. My daddy used to tell me this all the time. He'd say, Butch, I want you to come in here and help me do this, do that. And I'd say, because I'm lazy and I wanted to go play sports. I said, Dad, but I can't. I can't, Dad. I don't know how to do that. I can't. He said, listen, I don't want you to ever say this again. I don't want you to ever say you can't. What you're saying is you won't. He was right. He was right. I didn't want to do it. Well, I hope to change our mindset into not I can't, but I can. By the strength of the Lord, I can do all things. And that we become victors and we become courageous and we win the war in Jesus Christ. I want us to turn to me, one of the most upbeat, one of the most powerful, challenging, wonderful parts of Scripture. And it's in Romans chapter 8. You see, the people of God were under pressure. They were being slaughtered, many of them, martyred. And they didn't give up. There's a reason they didn't give up. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, I want this to be written on our hearts. Lord, please write it on our hearts. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, you get that? If God is for us. Earl Williams, did you hear that? Earl Williams, did you hear that? If God is for you, no matter what somebody else throws at you, says about you, does to you, if God is for us, and he is, if God is for us, since God is for us, who can be against us? Doesn't mean that they won't come against you. Doesn't mean you won't have this trial, that trial, but it is accounted this way. If God is for us, who can be against us? What is this coming against God? Rolling up here like that, like they God. They're not God. God is God. And if God is for us, and he is, who can be against us? What can be against you? Why do we give up? Why do we complain? You see, our complaints are fine. We can take our complaints to God, but we ought to leave out of there praising the Lord. We ought to be, you know, wow. I like to see those little kids on that, you know, it's war song we just had. And how even little kids, little elementary school kids, right? They're moving their feet. They're clapping their hands. They believe. They believe. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare? Look here. He didn't spare his own son. And you know he loved Jesus. They were together for all eternity. If he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, that's all y'all. Right? Down here, in those of you up north listening, y'all, all, is the same thing. But gave him up for us all, y'all. Get that? For us all. That's you and me. If he gave up his son for us all, y'all, how will he not also with him, graciously give us all things, all the victory, all the weapons we need? He will do it. He's doing it now. We're just not walking in it. We want to walk in victory, in courage, and in strength. Who shall bring anything against those whom God has chosen? God chose you. God loved you. He gave his son. Now, if he gave his son, this is a logical argument that the Apostle Paul is making. Logical and true. Rock solid. No way you can reason it out of. Paul said, now look here. Can we talk? Now, if he gave up his only son, he only had one son that he treasured and loved. If he gave up his only son, not that he had a spare son in the closet, no, his only son. We are his sons and daughters. But I'm talking about from all eternity, one son, Jesus Christ. And he gave him up for us all, for you and for me. Since he did the big thing, since he did, as they said, the heavy lifting, how can we come along and say he can't? Why do we get shaky and say, well, I know he can, but I don't know if he will. Why won't he? He's already given up his only son. These are reasons I go through. You say, Pastor, are you making fun of somebody? No, I'm talking about Earl Williams. I'm talking about the things that I walk with and live with in weakness, as if I'm a victim rather than a victor. not being courageous in the Lord. He's not given us a spirit of fear, James wrote, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I believe that. Do you? I believe that he gave up his only son, therefore guaranteeing it, that he will give us all things. So what's our problem? What's my problem? Who will bring any charge against those God has chosen? You want to mess with God's kids? Bring it. That sounds so prideful. No, I trust in the Lord. I know he can take care. He can take care of business. I don't have to. It is God who justifies. God who's made us holy and righteous through his blood. Who then, who is the one who condemns us? It don't matter what other people say about you. You got clearance. You got God on your side. You got God who's cleansed you and made you holy and righteous. Who condemns you? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, we just went through that in the resurrection season, is at the right hand of God. He's at the right hand of the one who controls all things. He's sitting at the right hand, and he's talking to the Father about us. You see, don't you? You see that, Father? So-and-so needs some help. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. We do not fight alone. Jesus fights with us. The Holy Spirit fights for us. So therefore, if he gave his son and all these other things, will he not also give us all things? What's the problem? Why do we walk around thinking it's the 15th of pity day? We have our pity party. We bring our fold-up chairs, and we're going to sit here and complain. When we are freed by the blood of Christ, and he's sitting with us, and the battle is ours through him, we ought to be praising God. He wants us to believe that everything I'm reading here is true. Do you believe? He inspired this. No one, Christ who died, more than that, who's raised. If he did all of that, can't he also take care of the business that concerns me and you? And what I'm saying is that we ought to go around acting like this is really true. That this is real. That the battle really is the Lord's. And that we are unbreakable. There's nothing the enemy can do to stop you. If God wants you to do something, he will also empower that. We're unbreakable. We've seen God lead people through the fire. We see them, God lead people through the waters, as that song Unbreakable talks about. We've seen all these circumstances. And we know it's true because his son is the guarantee. He crucified his son. Not Herod, not this one, that one. The Father crucified Jesus for us. Who shall, verse 35, name him, roll him up here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Oh, you say, Pastor, you don't know my trouble. No, I don't, maybe. Do you feel me? Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. It don't matter. It's good if we can understand one another, encourage one another. But we got the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't fight alone. We don't walk alone. We shall never, ever walk alone. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble. Some people say, well, you know, I thought that once I became a Christian, all my troubles would just walk away. You said, no, they didn't walk away. They even got some friends who brought them back. You know what? You say, well, if God's all of that, well, and if he loves me, gave his son for me. Why still have trouble and problems? You know why? One word, love. He loves you too much to leave you alone. He loves you too much. He sees where you and I need to grow. And we need to change. And we need to change our mindset as conquerors and victorious and victors. And he can't do that without some trials, without some difficulties. So he sends our way problems and trials and pain. He sends it. He does it. And we say, oh, Lord, deliver me, deliver me. He says, ain't time, son. Ain't time. See, he's never too late. Not only that, he's got his hand on the thermostat. We are our Heavenly Father's children, we used to sing. And he knows, oh yes, he knows just how much we can bear. He's not going to let it get too hot for us nor too cold. And every person that God, you look in the scriptures, you see Daniel, you see Job and the different ones that God used greatly, he also allowed them to suffer greatly. A lot of us love athletics. I love football and basketball. And we try to walk a little bit to stay in shape. But you can't get in shape and stay in shape. You can't win at a game unless you hurt a little bit. Unless you stretch those legs and arms and muscles. Unless you pull apart that muscle tissue that is preventing you from running or jumping or throwing faster or harder. See, it takes pain to have some gain. It's the truth. And the same is spiritually. Because God loves us so much, he will allow and appoint a session at the gym. You're talking about gym on my job, just give me a headache. Yeah, that's your gym. That will put you through difficulty so you will learn to love even those who hate you. That's how God operates. His son, his only son, went through pain and suffering so that his glory and his power could be seen. Him loving and dying for those who hated him. We're here to glorify God. To be more than conquerors. That's the attitude he wants from us. And to sing his praises and his glory at all times. I'm going to read a little bit more. It says, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And he says this, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors. We're more than victorious through him who loved us. Because he loves us, he blesses us with the ability through trial and difficulty to shine for him. For people to see, wow, so-and-so is going through. I wonder how they go through that. By the glory and the power of the Lord. See, that's what it's about. Glorifying God. I want us to turn very quickly here. I just want us to hear the word of God. I want us to think about the word of God. There's a song that I want to bring up in a moment. But first, I want to read 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. This is what Paul wrote. For our light, you say, man, this ain't light. By comparison, it is to what Jesus went through. For our light and momentary troubles, trouble don't last always. You say, but it sure is hurtful when it does have its appointment with us. Oh, yes, but God loves us. For our troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Put all of our troubles, all of our complaints, we could put it in a great U-Haul. And it's not worthy for the glory that outweighs all of them. There's a song I want to Oh, it's the same, right? It's from 1 John chapter 4. I'm not going to read 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. But the name of the song is Greater. Let's sing along with it. Greater.
Tithe and bring your shame, bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. Every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right, but that's alright, 'cause I
I mean, hearing those words are so powerful. I want us to read them. I want us to read them. I skipped over that. So just go to the song. Now let's go back to the word. I want this in our hearts, in our minds. It's from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. I want us to believe this. Not just, oh, yes, nice. No, I want us to believe. Father, give us the faith to believe. Give us the strength to believe. 1 John 4 and verse 4. You dear children. God looks at us as his dear children. You are from God and have overcome them. That means overcome the world. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And what he's talking about and who he's talking about and who he's calling out is Satan the devil. We're in a spiritual warfare. It's not just against flesh and blood, but more importantly, wicked spirits and Satan himself in high places. They are from the world, verse 5 says. And therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God. You are from God. Do you believe that? See, I can sit here and say this and read it. We can sing it a million times. But do you believe it? Verse 4 again. Dear children are from God. You, dear children, are from God. Do you believe from God? So I don't know, Pastor, put your faith in him. Put your trust to believe that everything in your life he is in control of. And he's doing it for your good. He works all things together for the good, even those that are painful. I say that because I know we all hurt in certain ways, whether emotionally or physically. God is in control. I've never heard from heaven, oops! God's never had an oops! I messed up on that one. That's not the God we serve. Every little thing, every major thing, big thing, he is in control of everything in your life, even when it hurts. As one person once said, it hurts so good. Because we're looking at the end result of it. Dear children, you, dear children, are from God. Isn't that an honor? And have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater. We heard that sung. I hope it's written into our hearts. We're hearing it from the word. I hope it's written into our minds. Greater than one who is in the world. They are from the world. And therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world. He's giving you a totally different language, a totally different way of looking at your problems and difficulties. They are blessings. See, one who is a conqueror and a victor, they look at things differently. What if, you know, y'all's favorite football team, I won't name that football team. They got behind before the end of the second quarter. What if so-and-so would have just taken off his helmet and threw it on the ground and walked off the field because they were hurting? They just gave up. That's not who we are. That's not who lives in us. Greater is he. You see, you have to have that winning attitude. Whether it's baseball, football, whatever, basketball, there's a winning mindset. There are individuals who believe in the team. They believe in the plays that they're going to run. They're going to walk according to the pattern that was set out. They're going to do a banana on the down and out. Bananas when you run like that. It looks like a banana. And they're going to catch that pass. Then I said, well, don't throw it to me. I'm going to miss it. No, God has equipped you. He's giving you the hands. He's giving you the heart to catch that pass. They are from the world and therefore speak from a viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. Don't listen to the negative. Don't listen to the defeat. It ain't over. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another. Love overcomes. And love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son. Notice how this is emphasized now in two chapters, in two books of the Bible. Why we should trust him. He sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. Live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for us. That, my friends, he says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is our calling. This is our hope. This is what God is giving us. The greatest blessing that he possibly could. And that is himself. And we are more than conquerors. I want to sing another song right now. We're more than conquerors. Father, as we prepare for this song, we want to thank you that you called us to be more than victorious. Thank you that you loved us too much to leave us like we are. And to even lay out our paths in which we overcome. Sometimes those paths we don't like, Lord, but we thank you for them. We give you praise, for we know that you are good and that you have nothing but good for us. Give us that boldness. Give us that confidence. Even as you have helped others, I know you can help us. We put our trust and our faith in you. Help us, Lord, to be more than victorious in Jesus' name. I want to read you before we close, and we'll sing a song after that. I want to read you a true story. It's about a young lady. And a young lady who is from this area, by the way. So is it me? No, not you. You see, it's one thing to read the things I've said. Myself as a pastor, I read those too, but do I believe them? I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief, because I know I've got cracks in my foundation where I say I believe, but then that pain hits you, whether it's emotional pain or physical pain. Forgive us, Lord. Strengthen our faith. But this young lady I'm talking about, she's not here today. Maybe one day she would be tuning in with us. You ever hear of cocoa? Not the drink you take, but cocoa, G-A-U-F-F. I didn't want to mess up her last name. She's from the Atlanta area. And she became the youngest woman to win the U.S. Open since 1999. And immediately after the final point, cameras began to snap, and they noticed that she was kneeling down in prayer. And she stayed there on her knees several minutes. And this is what she says. I was just saying thank you. She later told interviewers. She said, I don't pray for results. I don't pray for results. I just ask that I get the strength to give it my all. Is that how we are? I think that's a wonderful example. But give me the strength to give it my all. She's talking about glorifying God. You and I find ourselves in the midst of spiritual competitions and battles every day, don't we? We are forced to engage the force of the enemy every day. We must compete. The question is, do we believe we can win? Do you believe it? Do you really, really believe it deep in your soul that you can win? That you can win the spiritual battle? For the battle has already been won. Already has been won. It's been fought and won. You see, that's where our boldness, that's the foundation for our boldness and our confidence should come from. That we believe by faith that Jesus Christ conquered, that he was victorious, that the battle is already won. Let's sing that song. Wow. The energy, the power of that song the way it's sung. This is for real. We are not victims. We are victorious in Jesus Christ. That is the solid rock that we must believe. Jesus is the solid rock upon which our faith is anchored. Because we can have all the promises of God and all that he's done for us. But if we don't believe it, and that's why I'm asking that God would give us faith, even as Jesus, you remember when the man, you asked him, wanted to be healed. Did he have the faith? And the man said, Lord, as you well know, help my unbelief. Lord, help our unbelief to believe that these things are true and that you are our solid rock. Amen. You see the trials. You see the pain, the difficulties. Hold God's hands. He's in control of everything. And to lead us and to drive us to that solid rock. He is that solid rock. The only way we're going to be courageous and victorious is through faith in that solid rock. No matter how big the waves are that crash against us. No matter how sometimes it is so hot that, oh, we can't take it anymore, Lord. We go to that solid rock. And he's there for us. And he loves us. And now as we prepare to partake of that solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, his body, his blood, we partake of him. That's where our strength comes from. That's where our endurance continues. Because we believe it, and as we eat and drink, we not only believe it, we receive it. We receive the strength, the consistency, the willpower, that faith that believes, and nothing can shake it, because it's on that solid rock. In Luke 22, beginning in verse 19, we'll read 19 and 20. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, and he gives it to us today, saying, this is his word, this is my body. I'm giving you my all in all, so that you can be overcome. So that you and I can conquer in Jesus' name. This is my body. You see, this is a covenant meal. This bread, this morsel, body of Christ, through the Spirit of God, through the power of God, we partake not just of this bread, but of his body. It makes us one with him. And we remember every time we eat thereof, we remember what he's done and how he has placed us in his body as a part of the bread. That's why we can conquer. That's why we can be victorious. That's how we can believe. And he took bread. And Father, we ask you to bless this bread and that we would be strengthened by it, that it become part of us. We are what we eat and we eat of you. Yes, in a spiritual sense. In a reality that I don't understand. I don't want to understand. I just want it, Lord. I just want your body. And me to be a part of it. And all our brothers and sisters, young and old, to be a part of this body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. Remember me. It's about me. It's about him. It's not about us. We're blessed because of him. We conquer and we overcome by him. Do this in remembrance of me, and may we never forget. And likewise, it says he took the cup, that cup of wine that pointed to his blood. And as we drink this today, we are reminded of his blood that was shed for us. And we partake of that blood. And by his blood, we're cleansed and washed. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, they all took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, that is poured out, Jesus said, this cup that is poured out, my life poured out for your life, for you, is the new covenant in my blood. Very important that you get this. This is the new covenant. Jesus is the new covenant. We partake of a covenant meal. In those days, before those days, even before the coming of Jesus, the patriarchs, they would come together and they would make a covenant based on blood, the shedding of blood, and of food, bread. That what they saw in the cup and they served as the bread, as the body of Christ, was more than just a meal. They said, whatever happens to you will happen to me based upon the sacrifice of this animal and the shedding of its blood. They were in essence saying, we are making a covenant and we are now one. Just as we are now one with the Lord, what happens with the Lord happens with us. And he took his part already. Whatever happened in our sins, he's already taken that. And now we can count on that he takes our sins. He blesses us. And it's a covenant that says that whatever happens to one, they were bound by blood to happen to the other. What happened to Jesus happens to us. And it's more than this, much more than I could ever describe. But we access this, we experience it through faith in Jesus Christ, that we partake of Jesus, that he is with us, and his promise is true. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. It's that kind of boldness, it's that kind of victorious attitude that we ought to have toward the Christian life, because it's based on a covenant. And it's more than this. And so as we ask you now, Father, to bless the bread, we've prayed over it again. We're praying again, Lord. Let us experience this great mystery. Let it be reality of the body and blood, the wine and the bread. Be part of our lives. And we will live in victory. We will live in strength and in power and not weakness. Give us the faith to believe this so that it will be more than this. And that we will give ourselves to you more than this by and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now let's sing and listen to the words of the song, More Than This.
Forever bow and worship. Be a saint in the rain.